KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:01, it's clear and 31 degrees in Atlantic. We look for partly cloudy skies across southwest Iowa today with a high in Atlantic of around 46 degrees. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In local news, retiring Atlantic Municipal Utilities General Manager Alan Bonderman has received the Iowa Association of Municipal Utilities' Life Membership Award. The award was presented during IAMU's winter meeting in Des Moines and was in recognition of Bonderman's 37 years of leadership in the public power arena, including his 12 years of service in Atlantic and his significant involvement with IAMU, which is a statewide association that benefits more than 550 municipal utilities in Iowa. Bonderman began his career working with municipal utilities more than 40 years ago. He's worked in Atlantic for the past 12 years. While with AMU, he developed the first municipal Wi-Fi service in the state of Iowa, allowing DSL, cable modem, and alternative wireless services to be made available by other service providers to Atlantic's businesses and residents. He also worked to establish a scholarship program at AMU for local students to attend the Powerline Worker Training Program at Northwest Iowa Community College. During his career, Bonderman also earned the Energy Innovator Award from the American Public Power Association for his development of an energy management system for the city of Sanborn, Iowa. And AMU congratulates Bonderman on his long and successful municipal utility career. News time is now 8:03.
How did your shopping trip go with Grandma today?
Good, but...
But what? What's wrong, honey?
I think Grandma's mad at me.
Mad? She didn't say anything to me. Why do you think she's mad?
Well, when we were in the store, I wanted her to come and see the pretty bracelet, but she just kept walking away.
But did you say anything to her?
Yes, I said, "Grandma, Grandma, come look at this. It's so pretty." And she didn't even look at me. I don't know what I did. I don't want Grandma to be mad at me.
Oh, honey, I bet Grandma just didn't hear you.
When you can't hear the people in your life, it can cause hurt feelings and confusion, and you may be totally unaware of the circumstance that caused the hurt. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. When you struggle to hear what those around you are saying, or if you don't hear them at all, your lack of response may be interpreted as indifference, coldness, or even anger. This can cause problems in your work, social life, or worse yet, your family relationships. If you even think you have a problem, don't risk damaging the relationships that are important to you. Schedule a hearing evaluation today at ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
A woman who own or manage farmland in and around Shelby County are invited to a free discussion and field tour on Wednesday, February 29th at the Turkleton Activity Center in Harlan. The focus of the meeting is making informed decisions about hunting and managing wildlife on your farmland. Coffee and registration for the event begins at 8:30, and a free lunch is provided, followed by an optional field tour of area habitat sites. The event is sponsored by Women, Food, and Agriculture Network as part of the Women Caring for the Land series in collaboration with the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service, or NRCS, the Iowa DNR, and Iowa State University Extension. Women Caring for the Land meetings bring together women landowners in an informal, discussion-based learning format for a morning discussion, followed by a more in-depth look at the two or three topics of most interest, and female conservation professionals will be on hand to answer questions and share resources. Following the lunch, area NRCS staff will lead a field tour to view conservation practices on the ground. And for more information about the program, you can go to www.wfan.org. To reserve your seat for the meeting, contact Lynn Hughes at 515-201-9405 by no later than 5 p.m. on Monday, February 27th. The space is limited to 15, so you need to reserve your space early. And again, if you want that phone number or website, just go to our website at kjan.com and look for this story. A monthly survey of bankers in 10 Midwestern and Plains states shows the rural economy slowing down but reflects strong gains in hiring and farmland practices. The Rural Main Street Index, released on Thursday, dropped slightly from 59.8 last month to 59.6 this month. And any time the index, which ranges from 1 to 100, is above 50, it suggests the economy will grow. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss, who oversees the survey, says he expects to see slower growth in farm income as a result of softer agriculture commodity prices and higher overhead costs. The Economic Confidence Index, which reflects expectations for the economy 6 months out, rose to 60.3 from January's 56.1. The survey covers several states, including Iowa. Secretary of State Matt Schultz announced that the redistricting and reprecincting based on the 2010 census changes will impact the 2012 primary and general elections for the Iowa Senate. Iowa has 50 Senate districts, and each senator is elected to a four-year term at a general election. Senators that live and serve in an even-numbered district are on the ballot during presidential election years, and senators that serve in an odd-numbered district are on the ballot during the gubernatorial election years. The 2012 primary and general election ballot will include all of the even-numbered Senate districts. Due to the redistricting that took place based on the 2010 census, this year's ballots will also include an odd-numbered Senate district. No incumbent senator currently resides in Senate District 49, so this office must be placed on the 2012 primary and general ballots for a two-year term. Every incumbent state senator filed a declaration of residency by a statutory deadline of February 1st, and maps effective for the 2012 elections are available from the Secretary of State's webpage at sos.iowa.gov/elections or by calling 515-281-0145. And there is a link to that site as well on our news page. In other news, legislators are crafting a bill that would spell out the parameters for installing digital technology to track suspected criminals. Small devices that link up to global positioning systems can help law enforcement track a suspect and build a criminal case. Representative Rick Olson of Des Moines says the rules of engagement need to be tightened for how, where, and when the devices may be used.
Typically, it's going to be on a vehicle, but it could be in the heel of your shoe. It could be in your Samsonite luggage, you know, whatever you might carry with you.
Representative Kim Pearson of Pleasant Hill says legislators also aim to set a limit for this kind of GPS surveillance. She likes no more than 30 days.
And this is not going to be carte blanche for them to just put this GPS wherever they want it for as long as they want it there.
Another concern for Pearson and other lawmakers is making sure judges who issue warrants that let police go into a home or business to install a GPS device determine any confidential informants in such cases are actually credible. Representative Olson says it does make sense, however, to use GPS units to track suspects.
It's a more efficient way to do police work rather than assigning a detective or a police officer to follow you around 24/7 like you used to see on TV. It's now going to be electronic.
A bill on the subject has cleared the House Judiciary Committee, but Olson, Pearson, and others are still adjusting language in the bill before it comes up for debate in the full House. An Iowa Senate panel approved a measure raising Iowa's minimum wage to $10 an hour, but supporters acknowledge the proposal has no chance of becoming law. Burlington Democrat Tom Courtney pushed for the increase from the current $7.25 an hour, noting that at $10 an hour, someone would still earn only about $20,000 annually. Ottumwa Republican Mark Shelgren says the move would dry up jobs for young people. Although the subcommittee of the Senate Labor Committee approved the measure Thursday, House Speaker Craig Paulson told reporters he wouldn't allow debate on the proposal in the House, where Republicans hold a majority. Paulson said the measure would hurt employers, and he wants to help them create jobs. San Francisco, by the way, has the nation's top minimum wage of $10.24 per hour. And the Iowa House has overwhelmingly backed a plan costing $1 million that encourages privately held businesses to let workers buy an ownership stake. Supporters say ownership in companies would give workers a powerful stake in making the business a success. It could also be a tool to prevent companies from moving out of state. The House approved the measure Thursday on a 93-2 vote, sending it to the Senate, where approval is also likely. The money included in the bill would help companies finance the switch to employee ownership. Some lawmakers say they support the concept but want to study where the money will come from. The measure would also give owners an exemption from paying capital gains taxes when they sell a business to employees, costing an additional $700,000. Taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, Congress is getting ready to vote on extending the payroll tax cut and jobless benefits, but the $143 billion package could face a tough time in the Senate, where some Democrats don't like the cuts it proposes in civil servants' benefits and health programs. Many Republicans are opposed because the bill would add $89 billion to the federal deficit over the next 10 years. And in world news, the UN Secretary General says it's up to Iran to disprove that it's secretly developing nuclear weapons, but Ban Ki-moon says the issues concerning Iran should be resolved peacefully through negotiations. Ban tells reporters in Vienna that there is no plan B for diplomacy. And officials have closed a five-mile stretch of the Mississippi River after an oil tanker barge collided with another barge, spilling oil. The accident happened early this morning, about 50 miles upriver from New Orleans. The Coast Guard says the leak has been contained, but it's not known how much oil spilled. I'll have a check of the funeral announcements coming up next.
How did your shopping trip go with Grandma today?
Good, but...
But what? What's wrong, honey?
I think Grandma's mad at me.
Mad? She didn't say anything to me. Why do you think she's mad?
Well, when we were in the store, I wanted her to come and see the pretty bracelet, but she just kept walking away.
But did you say anything to her?
Yes, I said, "Grandma, Grandma, come look at this. It's so pretty." And she didn't even look at me. I don't know what I did. I don't want Grandma to be mad at me.
Oh, honey, I bet Grandma just didn't hear you.
When you can't hear the people in your life, it can cause hurt feelings and confusion, and you may be totally unaware of the circumstance that caused the hurt. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. When you struggle to hear what those around you are saying, or if you don't hear them at all, your lack of response may be interpreted as indifference, coldness, or even anger. This can cause problems in your work, social life, or worse yet, your family relationships. If you even think you have a problem, don't risk damaging the relationships that are important to you. Schedule a hearing evaluation today at ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
And the funeral announcements. Dean Culver, age 103 of Panora, died February 9th of Panora Nursing and Rehab. Memorial services for Dean Culver will be this morning at 10:30 at the First Christian Church in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Anna Mae Lawrence, age 92 of Atlantic, died Saturday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Anna Mae Lawrence will be today at 11 o'clock at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Dan Sinner, age 80 of Greenfield, died Tuesday at the Greater Regional Hospice Home in Creston. A Mass of the Resurrection service for Dan Sinner will be held today at 1 o'clock at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Eleanor Babe Krogh, age 92 of Exira, died Sunday at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Eleanor Krogh will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Exira Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. Constance Connie Henkelman, age 60 of Harlan, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Connie Henkelman will be held on Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. Billy Kirchner, age 63 of Jefferson and formerly of Atlantic, died Tuesday at Regency Park Nursing and Rehab. Graveside services for Billy Kirchner will be held on Sunday at 1 o'clock at the Greenwood Cemetery at Cumberland. Hastings Funeral Home in Jefferson has the arrangements. Pearl Elvina Peterson, age 85 of Bella Vista, Arkansas, and formerly of Avoca, died Monday in Springdale, Arkansas. Funeral services for Pearl Peterson will be held this coming Monday at 10:30 at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Richard E. Dick Rote, age 77 of Redfield and formerly of Stewart, died Thursday at his home. A Celebration of Life memorial service for Dick Rote will be held on Tuesday at 10 o'clock at the Redfield United Methodist Church in Redfield. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Arlene Wagner, age 82 of Manning, died Tuesday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Arlene Wagner will be on Tuesday at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Warren T. Chaffee, age 86 of Lancaster, California, and formerly of Harlan, died February 9th. A memorial mass for Warren Chaffee will be held Friday, and it's March the 30th, at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan, with the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan in charge of the arrangements. Alice Bornhoft, age 89 of Manila, died Thursday at the Manila Manor. Services for Alice Bornhoft are pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Manila. And Corwin Keitlinger, age 76 of Exira, died Monday at the Exira Care Center. Corwin Keitlinger has donated his body to science in an effort to study Alzheimer's disease. A Celebration of Life memorial service will be held at a later date. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. Our news was brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.